Good morning. Before calling to order today's meeting, as this is the last public meeting of the Council for the month of September 2014, I would like to take this opportunity to recognize Ambassador Rosemary DiCarlo. I and my team are profoundly grateful for her years of service to the United States government, including at the U.S. Mission here in New York, and on behalf of the founding principles we all hold so dear and which she tirelessly championed at the United Nations. So, toast, if we could, to Rosemary DiCarlo. The 7,273rd meeting of the Security Council is called to order. The provisional agenda for this meeting is the situation in the Middle East. The agenda is adopted. In accordance with Rule 39 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite Ms. Valerie Amos, Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator, to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. The Security Council will now begin its consideration of Item 2 of the agenda. I wish to draw the attention of Council members to Document S/2014/696, the report of the Secretary General on the implementation of Security Council Resolutions 2139, 2014, and 2165, 2014. I now give the floor to Ms. Valerie Amos.
Madam President, thank you. 7 months have passed since the adoption of Resolution 2139 and 2 months since the adoption of Resolution 2165 on the humanitarian situation in Syria. The resolutions aim to stop the relentless violence and violations of international human rights and humanitarian law against Syria's people. They also seek to improve access to those in need. But the violence continues unabated throughout Syria, including in areas previously not as affected, and people are being subjected on a daily basis to further displacement and deprivation. In the last few weeks, international attention has been focused on the need to halt the progression of ISIL across Syria and Iraq. ISIL are accused of beheadings, mass murder, and of sexually enslaving women and girls in areas under their control. There are extremely worrying reports of children being recruited into ISIL forces. Over the past 2 weeks, ISIL forces have advanced in northern Aleppo, and over 160,000 people, mostly women and children, fled into Turkey in just a few days. Their fear was so great that many people crossed heavily mined fields to seek refuge. There is a possibility that tens of thousands more people could be forced out of Syria if ISIL forces continue to gain ground. The other parties to the conflict also continue to show an utter disregard for international humanitarian and human rights law. Violence, including the use of barrel bombs, car bombs, and mortars, continues to cause civilian deaths and injuries. All parties continue to fire indiscriminately on populated areas and on markets and bakeries. Murder, execution, torture, hostage-taking, and other violations of international law continue with total impunity. The government has continued its aerial attacks, including the use of barrel bombs. OHCHR has received information that dozens of civilians were killed in Aleppo from such attacks, including women and children. Government forces also continued their heavy shelling of the Jubar neighborhood of Damascus, reportedly killing civilians. In its latest report, the Commission of Inquiry on Syria states that civilians and civilian infrastructure have been systematically targeted. 9 medical facilities were reportedly attacked in August alone, including 3 which were hit by barrel bombs. Armed opposition groups have fired on government-controlled territory. Extensive shelling of the Al-Qaeda residential and commercial area of Aleppo City in early September killed at least 8 civilians, including women and children. 9 days ago, mortars fired into government-controlled areas landed near 2 schools and a playground. 4 people were killed and 33 injured. Madam President, I have reported to this Council in the past the devastated consequences of this cycle of violence and destruction on Syria's people. Those who can flee. More than 3 million Syrians have registered in neighboring countries as refugees. The numbers who have left is far higher than that. Lebanon, Jordan, and Turkey are hosting millions of refugees and the displaced, stretching the resources of their communities and their national economies to the limit. Those who cannot flee remain. The whole population is affected by the loss of essential infrastructure and degradation of basic services. Millions are short of food, of medicines, and almost 3 million children are not in school. 11 million vulnerable people inside Syria require urgent humanitarian assistance, and of those, 6.4 million people are internally displaced. Many have been displaced several times. Sustained access to provide the most basic assistance to some 4.7 million people who have been hard to reach for months, some for years, continues to be a major challenge. And a further 241,000 people are deliberately besieged, mostly by government forces, and are denied assistance. Each month that passes sees more people denied their basic human rights. Intense fighting and shifting conflict lines continues to make the delivery of aid difficult and dangerous. The parties to the conflict continue to put obstacles in the way of the sustained access that humanitarian organizations require. Nearly 600,000 people in the two governorates of Deir ez-Zor and Raqqa could not be reached by the World Food Programme last month due to ongoing violence and the presence of armed groups. It is the third month in a row that WFP could not reach people in need in Deir ez-Zor. Parties to the conflict also continue to block aid deliveries to areas outside of their control. This includes armed opposition groups in Aleppo governorate, which have prevented aid from being delivered to areas under the control of ISIL. The government continues to use administrative procedures to hinder the rapid and sustained delivery of aid. While the changes introduced by the government on loading plans and imports from official entry points are welcome, the process for deliveries to hard-to-reach areas remains far too cumbersome, and the centralization of approval for deliveries continues to hamper our operations, as does the need to negotiate delivery routes once approval has been received. And aid workers trying to get life-saving assistance to people continue to face grave danger. David Haynes was the 63rd humanitarian aid worker to be killed since the start of the war. Madam President, despite the dangers, the United Nations and partners continue to reach millions of people in need. Last month, the World Food Programme and partners delivered food for more than 4.1 million people. 16.5 million people were provided with access to clean water by UNICEF and partners. Over 400,000 people received core relief items. With the support of the governments of Turkey and Jordan, implementation of Resolution 2165 has helped us to deliver food for 144,500 people, health support for 151,000, and other basic assistance for 315,000 people through additional cross-border operations, complementing the work of NGOs that have been operating across borders not controlled by the Syrian government for many years. The opening today of the Nusaybin-Kamishli crossing will allow the transfer of further assistance for another 225,000 people. The humanitarian community has developed an integrated plan, initially for four governorates, Dara, Kenitra, Aleppo, and Idlib, that covers food, health, shelter, and water and sanitation needs, and coordinates the work of all humanitarian actors, UN agencies, and NGOs. We continue to seek to reach the maximum number of people by the most direct and effective routes, across conflict lines, cross-border, or through regular aid deliveries. This approach ensures complementarity of effort and builds upon current operations. Despite the modest progress, sustained pressure on all parties to ensure that they respect and implement Resolutions 2139 and 2165 is crucial. We also need your financial support. I welcome the more than $1 billion pledged last week for our response efforts in Syria and neighboring countries, as United Nations and partners have already been forced to cut back on critical aid. Without additional funds, the World Food Programme will be forced to end its operations completely within 2 months. Rations have already been cut in order to continue to reach as many people as possible. Winter is fast approaching and vital supplies are needed to protect people from the cold. Neighbouring countries also need urgent support so that they can continue to shelter millions of refugees. But most critical of all, the violence that has already killed over 190,000 people must stop. Thank you.
I thank Ms. Amos for her briefing. Before inviting council members to informal consultations to continue our discussion on this subject, as this is the last scheduled meeting of the council for the month of September 2014, I'd like to express my sincere appreciation of the delegation of the United States to all the members of the council, especially my colleagues, the permanent representatives, their respective staff, and to the Secretariat of the Council for all the support that they have given to us. It has been a busy month and one in which we rallied to consensus on several important issues within our purview. We could not have done it alone and without the hard work, support, and positive contributions of every delegation and the representatives of the Secretariat, as well as all the relevant conference service officers. As we end our presidency, I know I speak on behalf of the Council in wishing the delegation of Argentina good luck in the month of October. The meeting is adjourned.